If you've been holding off on starting a business because you don't feel like you're an expert in all the things yet, today's episode is for you. We are talking about how to build a business as you learn how to build a business, and also how to draw on the expertise of others to help your business be the best it can be. Stick around. Welcome to Side Hustle Teachers, where we believe that being a teacher doesn't mean you have to be broke or burnt out. Our mission is to help teachers like you build successful businesses so you can find financial freedom, pursue your passions, and discover the many options that exist for you beyond the classroom walls. Hello, hello, hello. It is Stacy, and you are listening to Side Hustle Teachers. Today, I am thrilled to be speaking with Carrie Conover of Educator to Educator. If you have not heard of her awesome membership program, you are going to want to stay tuned because not only is it an amazing opportunity for teachers to get PD that doesn't suck, it's also a great example of how to run a business that not only sets you up for helping people, for building a business that you want, but also for building a business that has legs and can last and can scale and can keep growing. Carrie has worn many hats in her life in education. She's gone from working with a symphony orchestra as their education director. She's worked within public schools as a public school teacher, and she's worked in the ed tech space. And all of those things together led her to her perfect edupreneur journey, which is creating Educator to Educators. This is a community for teachers by teachers, and it's basically teachers helping teachers learn things that, quite frankly, we are missing in PD now. Her platform allows teachers to share best practices with each other, build relationships, and become an expert within and outside their own school, and get support as they grow their toolkit of teaching. One of the things that I love about Carrie's story is that she realized as she was building this business that you don't have to be an expert in everything in order to provide expert advice. And she shares with us how she helps teachers be the expert and helps them and guides them and nurtures them as they realize that they do have skills that they can share with other people. So if you are ready, I'm going to jump right in with Carrie Conover of Educators to Educators. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. Feels so good to be on the other side of the microphone.
I know, right?
So it's less pressure, I think.
I know. Be on this side. I don't know. Sometimes it goes back and forth. So before we jump in, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So Stacy, I am coming up on 20 years in education. I've had a really interesting path. I started out working in the education division of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, actually. Nice. Had a music degree, and working in their education division, I was out in Chicago public schools a lot, in the schools, and I just fell in love with schools and teaching. So I went back and got my master's in education, and I taught in the Chicago public schools for 10 years. And while I was at, I think I was teaching fourth grade, the first iPad came out, and Apple came to CPS and said, hey, we want you to pick some teachers to give them an iPad cart and see what they can do. So I had like one of the first iPad integrations one-to-one in the nation. And there I fell in love with ed tech. And so I worked for 3 years at an ed tech startup, eSpark Learning. And then I spent a little over a year at Discovery Education, working in customer success. Loved that work. And in those, you know, almost 5 years of working in ed tech, I was crisscrossing the nation, talking to superintendents, school boards, teachers, principals. I mean, I just got to see every kind of school you can imagine. And I said to myself, I am going to go out on my own and do some consulting. And I started Educators to Educators, which is now about to have its 2-year-old birthday.
Yay. Happy birthday.
Thanks.
So what is Educators to Educators?
Great question. So Educators to Educators, in short, we provide on-demand professional development for educators. So pre-K-12 teachers, principals, we have counselors that use E2E, all types of school personnel. And we provide on-demand professional development in a couple of ways. So twice a year, we have very large free virtual conferences for teachers. Actually, we have one starting next week. This podcast will probably be out after that conference, but we have one in the summer and in the new year. And we have about 10,000 teachers signed up for that conference. So, I mean, that has just, that's just amazing. I can't believe we have 10,000 teachers coming together. So that is free professional development from 77 teachers across the nation. These are teachers in the classroom, and our purpose is for teachers to teach teachers and really digestible professional development. We also have a podcast. So that is called Educators to Educators. And then finally, we have a membership site. So teachers that want to become part of this E2E community and they want access to all these conference videos, we have like over 250 videos now that they want that access. We do giveaways and fun challenges and just creating a community around that to keep teachers energized in the profession. So we have that membership site as well.
That's fantastic. And the online conference, your online PD sounds phenomenal. And you even said the magic word, which is of course for teachers, free. So yes.
And I will always keep at least one of our conferences for free. Right now we have two that are for free. And I do that because I know teachers don't make a lot of money, right? And even our membership site is $10 a month. It's like two cups of Starbucks, right? So I kept that membership site super affordable for two reasons. One, because anyone can afford $10 a month, right? And two, a lot of teachers are going to their school leadership and saying, I want to be part of this. I want this PD. I want this community. Will you pay for the year? And so a lot of principals are reimbursing teachers for it. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Super happy. Yeah. So do you find that there are a lot of teachers who are working through their school to do this?
Right now, so we just launched the membership site this last month, and a lot of teachers are paying for it on their own. But what's happening is I'm starting to have some school leadership reach out to me and say, hey, I want to pilot this with, like for instance, one district says, I want to get this. It's a large district. They're like, I want to get this for all my teachers that are in like third, fourth, and fifth year of teaching, because they get all the support in the first couple years, but then they kind of lose that community and scaffolding. And so they're going to pilot it with all their third, fourth, and fifth year teachers. But you know, a lot of teachers in schools actually end up at the end of the year with all this PD money left over, and they're trying to figure out how to spend it. So
Where are these schools?
Well, oh my gosh, this is super common in schools. And think about it. Have you ever had all of a sudden your teacher say, your principal say, oh my gosh, everybody has $25 to spend. We've got to spend this money. It happened in CPS all the time, because if you didn't use those funds, the school lost them.
Yeah. I will say, I think in the magnet school that I used to work at, that was something that happened at the end of the year, is that we had money left over and it was like, what do you want to buy?
Yeah.
So...
And instead of just, I mean, I think if you want to buy books for your library, you should do that. If you want to buy manipulatives, do that. But if you want to become part of a community that's super fun and positive, E2E is like a good way to do it. So in August, you know, everybody has access to this huge video library. But in August, for instance, we're doing this big back to school challenge. And the members get a free, gorgeous E2E binder that they can use to organize all their materials for free. They're getting all these teacher paid teachers. Sellers are donating products for back to school. And then if you kind of complete this checklist of things, we're doing all these great giveaways. So I can't give away quite yet what the giveaways are, but so you stay involved and you get rewarded. And that, I just want it to be fun and positive. We have so many heavy things on our hearts and minds as teachers. And we're going to talk about those hard things, but we're going to talk about them as a community and how can we support each other and uphold each other and make teaching just even a little bit more fun.
Yes. Yeah. Because I will say, you know, I'm 19 years in, you've been doing this for 20 years, and teaching has changed a lot since we started. And
I know
not all of it has been good. I would argue actually that most of it has not been good. But, you know, to have a place where people who still love to be teachers can go and talk about loving to be teachers, even though it's hard, is really helpful, because there are so many places you can go right now that are just all negative all the time.
Yes, you're so right. And when we started in the early 2000s, there was no Instagram, there was no Facebook, there was no community anywhere to go to. I mean, you had the people in your school, which were great. One interesting thing that's happened at E2E is there's a lot of teacher leaders who want to be part of this because they're outgrowing maybe their school.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be, they might be super go-getters, and they're finding that, heck, maybe other teachers in the building feel jealous of them, that they're such a go-getter, or that they feel isolated. Like, they're the only ones at their school who stands up to do professional development, and they would like a bigger audience.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what's been amazing to me, is the teacher leaders we've really drawn in, who say, you know, I only have 500, I get this all the time, I only have 500 followers on Instagram, but I would love to present. And I'm like, I don't care how many followers you have on Instagram. Like, if you have something to say, be part of this community and say it.
That's awesome. So when you let people into the community, or when you have people join the community, they can join as either a member who is receiving information, or they can join as like a presenter type person.
Yeah. So the membership is, you know, you're consuming all the content, you're part of the giveaways. But then we have what I call I don't say this publicly often, but I call it the E2E talent. So who are you, and what do you have to say, and what do you have to give to the community? So right now, you know, with this conference going on, a lot of people want to be presenters. And so there's a, you can go on my website, educators2educators.com, and you can scroll down. And for your audience that maybe they do want a side hustle, or they're kind of trying to figure out, like, what do they want to do? What are they good at? Maybe they're thinking about starting a YouTube channel or a blog. They can fill that out. It goes into a database. And then as I'm planning out different things, I go to that database and say, oh, wow, Stacy would be really a great fit for this. I'm going to get in touch with her and see if she'd like to create a presentation. And so with the membership site, it's really great for those people that maybe don't want to be in front of 10,000 people yet, but they want to get their feet wet and be in front of a couple thousand people, maybe, you know,
right,
a couple hundred people. So I'm really excited about that, because for me, E2E isn't about Carrie Conover. Like, you're not going to go to my stuff and see my face splashed all over everything. Like, the podcast is clearly me, but it is about embracing teacher leaders and me embracing, because I took a lot of risks and I got to where I am by taking risks. And so I want to be a support system for teachers that want to take risks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know what you're saying about the teacher leaders. I will say I used to be one of them. When you start a business, you have to take a step back and prioritize. So yep. You can feel very ostracized for being one of those teachers who joins committees, who helps out, who, you know, heaven forbid, asks questions at a staff meeting.
Yes.
You know, so it can be very, polarizing to be one of those people, because there are those teachers. And I think people get the wrong impression that those are most teachers. But there are those teachers that just want to sit back, put their feet up and say, is the meeting over? Okay, I'm going home. Or, you know, okay, I have to go do PD today. I'll just sit in the back of the room. So
great papers. It drove me nuts.
We used to have them knit. People were knitting in our staff meetings.
You know, actually, I feel like knitting is better than grading papers. Because if you're grading papers, your brain is like totally checked out. And it's so visually checked out. I guess if you're knitting, maybe you're listening. Maybe you just are a person that needs to do something with your hands, like the kid that needs to color in class, but is still listening. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I personally found it very distracting, because I was like, ooh, what you doing over there?
And you're then the right, clicking. The other people.
The needles clicking. Oh my gosh. But yeah. So
it's interesting. I just want to touch on something you just said, if you don't mind me turning us in. Making a left turn really quick here.
Nope, not at all.
I was thinking this morning about that prioritization that you just mentioned a lot, because I get asked a lot, how do you balance your own company, consulting, E2E, a family, a home, all this, a marriage? And I do think some of what I'm seeing with the teacher burnout is sometimes a lack of being able to prioritize. Right?
Yes.
And having an honest conversation with yourself. For me, when I started E2E, my number one priority is my family. Number one priority, and that does not shift. Now, everything after that does shift around, right? And I'm very intentional about that. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things I've really learned as I'm getting older is how we talk about prioritization and how important it is. But I think one of the things that's missing, especially with teachers, is communicating your priorities to the other stakeholders in your life. Does your spouse or your partner or your kids know what your priorities are right now and why, right? My kids are downstairs right now and they know I'm recording a live podcast, and they know I got them from summer camp, and I'm like, here's the food, here's what you can do, here are your choices, do not come bother me in my office, and this is why. Mm-hmm. And they will not come in here, right? And so I just have learned so much about communicating to the people in your life your priorities. It really does help you. And that clue includes your students and your students' parents. Communicate with them your priorities.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny you say that, because when my daughter was little, she's 8 now, so she's better able to understand, you know, that mommy's doing this for a couple hours, you know, I'll be available after that. I still lock the door because as long as my husband's home, I'll lock the door, because she does have ADHD and will occasionally forget and just walk in and ask about crackers. But yeah, we started talking about the whole priority thing as a family as well, because my husband has a side business, I have a side business, we have a family, we're both teachers, and it's like, you know, somewhere you've got to have that support system. So right now he's with her. They're outside. If they come back in, that's no problem. But she knows that the only reason she's supposed to disturb me is if there's a fire, a flood, vomit, or blood. Those are the four things.
Love it.
That's it. And other than that, you do your own thing until mommy's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a very good point, that you not only have to figure out your priorities, but you have to share them with the people around them.
Yes. Because the 99% of the time, they're going to support that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Have we gotten over in arguments over who has to watch our daughter when we both have work to do? Absolutely. But, you know, because we both know we're coming from, you know, our own point of view, that we can take a step back and say, all right, let's work this out. How can we make this happen? Totally. So, yeah. But yeah, that's absolutely true. So how do you actually do that with, you know, all the things you have going on in your life and trying to put together this big conference and running this big conference, which I'm assuming it's a couple days long and you are very much hands-on, making sure tech is not going wrong and people are registered and answering customer questions and all that other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great question. Well, first of all, like I said, family's first for me, right? So I plan everything around my family's schedule. And I've also done a lot of reading and listening to podcasts and thinking about, when is Carrie the most efficient and when does Carrie get the most done? And so what I've realized for me is between 6 a.m. and noon, I am a machine. I am a machine. And so I make sure that I'm up at and out of bed. And if I wake up with an idea, sometimes I don't even get my coffee or brush my teeth. I just get straight to it. But what I've also realized is I need to stop at noon and do something outside, walk my dog, water the flowers, get out in nature, right? And then that's a really great cutoff point for me to start thinking about my family again, right? So then I'm like, okay, what are we having for dinner? What activities do we have tonight? Am I ready? Do I need to wash uniforms? Do I need to pick up the house? Do I need to kind of tidy the my rule for me, this is silly, but like, I need my first floor of my house tidy and clean, and everything else can be a total mess and it's fine, right? Like, but I just need that. So like, I've realized what triggers me. So if my first floor of my kitchen's a total mess when my kids come home from school, it's going to stress me out and put me in a snappy, bad mood. And that's not prioritizing my family. Well, I do a lot. I've really done a lot of reflection about what triggers me to be cranky with my family, or, you know, I can't sleep in, but if I get up and I start cleaning or cooking during that 6 to 12 time, that's not going to make me efficient. I have to protect that time for myself. I think the other thing for me is going back to that communicating. So like, I kind of write down when I think a priority is family, home, E2E, friends. And that family is always first. And then my home, E2E, and friends shift around. E2E is usually second. I'm not going to lie. But the beauty of the people that surround me and the friends that I have gained in my life, which I've chosen very carefully, is that I can text my friends and be like, I'm sorry, I'm MIA. I am in the middle of this conference right now. July 17th, you're going to have Carrie back. And my friends are beautiful. And they're like, cool, no biggie. If I see you, I see you, you know? And so I just, going back to that communicating, or saying to my husband, you know what, Saturday morning, I'm going to get up and I need you guys to just leave me alone until noon. It's not personal, you know? And it's just, It really, that's really how I do it. It's like, I just communicate, and then I've chosen to have these amazing human beings in my life that support what I'm doing.
Yeah. So one of the things that I know a lot of people with side hustles, especially teachers, struggle with is figuring out not only what they're good at, but also getting the mindset that this is something that they could actually get paid for.
Yeah.
How did you make that leap? Do you think the fact that you had jobs outside of teaching was helpful for that?
100%. I transitioned into ed tech and I was like, wow, look at all these talents I have. And it takes a while to believe in those, but I, in both jobs that I had, I was like, wow, I have all these talents, and I was practicing them all the time in teaching. So that really helped me with the money mindset. And I did a lot with sales and our sales team. So I learned about sales. I learned about how to, you know, one of the things I'm really proud of with E2E is I haven't, until now with this membership site and the one career conference we had, I have not asked teachers for a dollar. I've done everything free. And so I think what's really key when you're going to do a side hustle is you cannot show up and put your hand out right away and say, pay me, right? In most situations, unless you're still selling a physical product, maybe, you have got to figure out who you are, what you love, and how that all ties together, and then get focused and then start building credibility.
Mm-hmm. And finding your people.
Yeah. Like, if people don't know who you are and what you believe and what your mission is and what, why you're doing it, and you're not razor sharp clear on that, you're not going to get people to pay you. And then it's like a cycle, because you're going to have self-doubt, like, oh, no one's going to pay me for this. No one's going to pay me for this. And so like, I'm just really proud of the fact that like, this is the first time ever that we launched this membership site and we're asking this nominal fee, and people are paying it because I've gained their trust and credibility over 2 years, over 2 years time. You know this, Stacey, you don't put out your first podcast and 5 million people listen to it. Like, it's not the way it works. It takes time. And so being patient with yourself, even if you're not making that money at first, stay focused, stay really focused, and really tell people who you are.
Yeah. I love that, because it's, the things that you're talking about that you got from the other jobs, you know, your tech skills, your sales skills, those are learnable things.
Yes.
And as teachers, I think it's just part of our innate being that we are learners. So for us, learning stuff, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's not, you know, if you're a math teacher and you have to learn about sales, that might not be something that's like totally in your wheelhouse, but it's doable.
Yes.
It's a learned skill. It's our head that we have to really train and stop telling ourselves that we're, you know, quote unquote, just a teacher.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that just a teacher thing is just like, first of all, you're a human being and a person.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a really interesting, I don't want to call it a problem, but situation in teaching, that teachers become so like that they're only a teacher. Like, I'm I am what I do for a living. And they're actually separate. You're a human being with a life and problems and emotions and everything. And your job is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a plumber is not like going around like, I'm a plumber. Listen to all my plumber prop. Like they are going to work. They're doing a phenomenal job. They're getting paid, but that's their job. Mm-hmm. Right. And we, as teachers, our hearts are so involved in our jobs that sometimes it's really hard to separate ourselves as like teaching is a performance. It's a job,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I do see that self-doubt come in. One thing I will say though, if you're a teacher and you're getting started with a side hustle, my biggest thing is like, be super focused and take one thing at a time. Don't try to do a YouTube channel, a blog, a podcast, sell a physical product, make t-shirts, make earrings. Like don't try, do one thing really well and then add another thing.
Mm-hmm. And if you need to rewind that, guys, and listen to that phrase again, do that, because this is truth right there. Because first of all, nobody can do all the things all at once. You cannot, as a human being who is learning how to be a business person, at the same time put out content for YouTube and a blog and a podcast and social media and all the things. You have to pick one thing, master it, and then you can add something else. And I cannot tell you how many times I say this. I want to do this, and I got this idea, and that's great. Write it down.
Yeah, like if you get the bug. So this is really interesting. When I first left Discovery, I still do consulting for education companies. Okay. And it was called Conover Innovative Consulting. It's still the consulting side of my business, but I was putting that out there and E2E. And I'm like, this has got to be super confusing to my audience because it's two different audiences. So I actually pulled anything public that was Conover Innovative Consulting is gone. I pulled it, and forward facing is E2E. And that's what everyone knows me for. But they don't know behind the scenes, I'm funding E2E by doing all this consulting work. But no one needs to know about that because I am getting my business through word of mouth from business to business to business, right? And so as soon as I made that shift to make E2E the public facing thing, it just became the clouds parted. Like, oh, this is who she is. She serves teachers. She's a leader of, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I will say that one thing that has helped me not chasing all of these things, so not chasing too much at once, is like I started with my podcast. And let's say right now you have a blog and you want to think about doing a podcast. I have podcasting on the mind. And you have this itch. There is nothing wrong for you to sit down and give yourself an hour to brainstorm out what would you do with the podcast? How much would my mic cost? Like itch the scratch of wanting to do a podcast, but don't start doing it until you have the capacity. Like it's okay to dream and be creative and scratch that. What would it be called? And what would my colors be? Have fun. Just don't publish or execute on it quite yet until, you know, you got whatever you're doing right now under control.
Exactly. Yeah. And you've got sort of two sides of a coin here, because you've got the, I forget the name of the thing, but the, now I'm going to draw a blank, but it doesn't really matter. But there are the people who are like the quick starts, right? They have an idea, they jump in, they go for it, and they see what happens, and consequences be damned. And then there are the fact finders, right? The ones who will bog themselves down, and they will spend an entire week looking up which microphone is the best, and then where can I get the best deal on that microphone? And then, you know, they spend all their time thinking about doing things and they never actually do things.
Yeah.
You've got to find that balance between jumping in and doing something without thinking about it and thinking about it too much to the point where you never take action.
Yeah. And I fall on the quick start side of things.
Yeah, me too.
So that's where for me playing with an idea and brainstorming it, there's a million things that I've brainstormed with people that I haven't actually done. And I say that if I'm collaborating, I don't know that we're actually going to do this. Let's just think about what it will look like.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I am definitely more on the quick start side. And I think you have to have some of that in you as an entrepreneur.
You have to have a little get up and go. Yeah.
Yeah. You cannot be looking at a microphone for a week. You just can't. Like, there's so many other better things to do with your time. Someone gave me a microphone. I've never even looked at what this microphone is and how much it costs. Like, someone was like, I was going to do a podcast and I stopped. You gave me two microphones. Like, it doesn't matter. No one's coming to your podcast to know what kind of microphone you're using. Like,
right.
You just want to be able to understand you.
Exactly. Yeah. So I love that point, is that you have to have an outlet for these ideas that you have. So you say you talk them out with people. I talk them out with my phone. I do. I have a voice recorder app on my phone and I have it with me at all times. And I did a Facebook Live on this a while ago that I kind of broke that rule that you're not supposed to bring your phone with you to bed. Because if I cannot go to sleep because there's an idea swimming around in my head, the easiest thing for me to do is pick up my phone and say, so I'm thinking about doing this thing and I really want to think about it this way. Okay. And it's out of my head and now I can sleep.
Yeah.
Totally. And then I can, you know, I can go back to that recording whenever.
Yep.
Or if I make a note, I can go back to that note. You know, I know some people that have journals, like, every once in a while I'll have a big idea and I'll write it down in my journal. And sometimes I'll go back to it and be like, what the heck was I thinking? Like, I'm never going to do that.
You know, there's two books that I really love that have had major influence on my business and being an entrepreneur. I would love to share.
Absolutely.
First being Strengths Finder.
Mm-hmm.
Strengths Finder, actually I have it above my head up here somewhere. That test, I've taken it twice, once when I was kind of got it started in ed tech, and then once 2 years ago when I was about to start E2E, and oh my gosh, do you learn a lot about yourself.
Absolutely.
And so that really, I think if you're thinking about a side hustle can help you. I mean, it's had such impact on my life. And the other book is Building a Story Brand by Daryl Miller.
That book. Yes. I'm so addicted to that podcast.
Yeah. And in that book, I mean, I'm actually getting ready to reread it again because I think I've reorganized my website and I just love him. But let's say you're thinking about a side hustle of selling jewelry. Okay. Like, he's going to walk you through so many steps of like what your brand should look like if you're going to sell jewelry, or maybe you want to, I don't know, I'm making something up, start a YouTube channel where you teach teachers how to do their hair cute for school, whatever you want to do, like makeup school or whatever. It just, the process that he has you go through really helps you with that focus and priority.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great read, no matter how far you are into your business.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm such a fan. So, yeah, it's one of those books. It's on my recommended reading list. Everyone I know who wants to have a business, I'm like, yep, you need to go read Don Miller because he's awesome. And when we have the business prep, that's going to be one of our book club books as well. So,
love it. Well, yeah, if you guys ever have a discussion, I would love to come in and join it with you.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. And I love the fact that he also provides, again, free content. He provides a free website for you to go to structure all this stuff out. So, you know, one of the things that I noticed that you do, and I try to do it, and I know the people who actually have success and connect with their audience, is providing free tools and free content.
Yes. Free, free, free. If you put your hand out right away, people lose trust in you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Free and food at meetings. Those are like the two roles.
Breaks.
Yes. Yeah. That's like the two rules of making stuff happen. And
I love it. Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So one of the questions I had when you were talking about E2E, and I know you provide, you say on-demand PD. So what does that mean? Like, people can sign up for a particular PD course whenever they want?
Yeah. So if they're members, that's how they get the on-demand PD. So then right now, for instance, we're coming up on the summer conference. It's 77 presentations. So for 2 days, everyone gets all that content for free and then the conference closes. So like, maybe you're like, oh, I really would have liked to watch these other sessions. So you can log back in the portal and all that conference videos are available for you. Now, after probably about 60 days, what I'll do is take that content and break it up into different modules we have. So from our previous conference, we have, you know, teacher self-care, we have career stuff, we have classroom management, classroom environment, including all students. So we have these different modules. So that way you could say, okay, man, I really feel like my classroom is super disorganized. I want to focus on getting my classroom organized. You can go into the E2E's portal and find 5 videos about getting your classroom, decluttering your classroom, getting organized. Or you're like, man, I really like my math centers are not working for me. I need to rethink how I'm teaching math. You go in, you can find math, and they're all like 10 to 20 minutes of actual teachers. So it's not like you, no offense to professors out there, but it's not like you're hearing a professor that hasn't taught for 20 years sit and talk about teaching. These are people in the thick of it saying, hey, this worked for me. Maybe you want to do start flexible seating. We have amazing presentations about flexible seating. And so that's where it's on demand. And what I love about the membership site is with our challenges, I call it lunchtime learning. So one time a week, get your lunch, sit at your desk, pop on E2E's website and find a friend from across the country to just hear their voice, see their face, and be encouraged by them. With your lunch, with your salad or your hummus and dip, whatever you eat at your lunch. Like, I love the idea that it's quick PD. You're not stuck. I know everyone's spines are going to curl when I say this. You're not stuck sitting in a chair with 60 other people in a 3-hour PD that has nothing to do with your classroom. There, that has to happen sometimes. There's some things we have to do by law, but otherwise we should be learning from each other in quick bite-sized snippets is what I believe.
So, okay. So you've got the videos from the conference that are added in, which I think is brilliant business strategy, by the way, because now you've got this free conference. You've got 77 people creating content for you for free.
Yep.
You can then put into your membership site that you charge for.
Yep.
Genius.
Well, let me say something there really quick, because I've been working on this free conference for 3 months, full time, pretty much. And so yes, they are creating this content for free and now I'm charging, but I give these, teacher leaders so much in return. And that's why they're willing to give me stuff for free to keep in there. I give them exposure to audiences they would never have exposure to. I have sales background, so I can go to school districts and say, you should use this for PD. We have a university that's using it with their pre-service teachers. I mentor them. I help them. I just called someone yesterday. They put out a new product on TPT and I said, call me. And he called me and I said, we got to turn this into a webinar. Let's get this in front of people. What you've done is brilliant. So I just want to interject because I do give them a lot of time and my talent in return for them giving content. But the business.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, so I just want to say that I don't want people to think that I'm like stealing this content and now charging.
No, not at all. I think because this is the part of the problem with teachers and starting a business is that one, they think it has to be hard, right?
Yeah.
Now you are definitely putting in a ton of work, but one of the things that I love that Pat Flynn says all the time is what would this look like if it were easy?
Yeah.
You did not, if you had to sit down and create 77 different videos on 77 different topics, that would take long time, right?
Yeah.
Depending on how much time you had to spend on it. It would take a long, long time.
Yeah.
So to be able to put this content out there and give it to people for free.
Yeah.
And then say, you know, if you weren't able to watch this conference at the time, or maybe there were two things going on at the same time that you couldn't watch both, then here's a way that you can get it at a crazy low price. Like, that's a really affordable price. And now you have for your membership site, because this is one of the problems with membership sites is that it's really hard to come up with content to make it valuable. And now you have this whole library of content that is available for your members that is probably more valuable than if you had created it yourself, because 100%. It's by teachers who yeah. have done it themselves.
Yes.
I mean, the whole thing is like just one giant symbiotic business brilliance moment.
And it's interesting because I was dabbling in different things. I had built some courses. And I was like, this just isn't feeling right. And I was like, it's going to come together. I know it's all going to come together, but you're absolutely right. It's so scalable, right? And I am free because it's so scalable. It doesn't matter if I have 100 people or 5,000 people in this membership site because it's so scalable.
Right.
But what it does for me and what I feel like is the best part of it is that it frees me up as a person I've worn so many different hats in education. It frees me up to be a cheerleader for the teacher leaders that are providing the content.
Mm-hmm.
It frees me up to help them find a new job because I have connections everywhere. Like someone just was moving to Chicago. I found her a job in a heartbeat. So it frees me up to be a good leader to those leaders, which is what is in my heart.
Yeah.
And so also like I am creating a little content here and there. In September, we're going to talk about boundaries and it's building healthy boundaries. And I am very passionate about this content. So I'm just going to do a really small 5-minute video series about how are you going to create healthy boundaries in your personal life as a teacher? How are you going to create healthy boundaries with fellow teachers, with your students' parents, and with your students? And so for me, I try to do, I could talk about teaching all day long. I was a great teacher, but E2E isn't about who I was as a teacher. So I'm trying to think about what is a 41-year-old who has a lot of life experience, what can I talk about? With wisdom and life. My most downloaded podcast is a podcast about how to support a teacher who's grieving. Cause I've lost both of my brothers within 5 years of each other recently. And that is my most downloaded podcast. And another point there is like data is so important for all your teachers that are trying to get a side hustle. In teaching, sometimes you'll hear, you know, dad is the enemy. We don't want to test. Oh my gosh. Dad is so important. So like I look at my podcasts, I'm on 45 now. Most of my top 10 downloaded are me by myself. And I thought for sure, no one wants to hear what I have to say. So make sure I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but using that data to really help drive what you do next.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, any of your teachers that are part of your program that if they would like, if they're doing something and they're thinking about, you know, blogging or whatever they're doing for their side hustle, you know, if they want to potentially be a presenter to get their toes wet and see what that's like, I invite you to do so. I'm really supportive of what you're doing with your business and helping other teachers find their side hustle. So please send anyone my way that kind of wants to get their feet wet with doing these presentations, and we'd be welcome, very welcoming to them.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think to go back to something you said is that when you create content yourself for the membership site or for your podcast, it's content that you are highly passionate about. It's something that you have personal experience with. And I think what's so nice about the model that you've created is that you're allowing everyone, yourself included, to stay in their zone of genius. You know, so you're not asking.
That. I'm going to write that down. Can I steal that from you?
And oh, I've stolen it from somebody else. So go right ahead.
I love that zone of genius. You're right. Yeah. That is so true. I haven't thought of it that way.
So that way you get to play to your strengths and they get to play to their strengths. And the end product is beneficial to everybody. So it's, you know, it's this really nice cohesion where everybody gets to do what they're really good at and what they're really passionate about. And I think that's one of the things that scares people about starting a business is that they think about all the things that they're not good at
mm-hmm.
that, you know, are going to take up their time. Like I am not good at keeping my own books. Thank you very much. Profit first. I'm still working.
Yes, I do profit first as well. Thank God.
Yeah.
Profit first is genius because you just don't, and my husband's an accountant. So I just like,
I'm jealous
at him. Oh, but I'm like, I don't have to think about it. Like, it is profit first has totally changed my mentality about money.
Yes, absolutely.
You're right. So you were saying like, you're not going to be great at everything.
Yeah. You know, and right now I have a couple of assistants that do side things for me. And as my business grows, I'll be able to delegate more of that out. But now you actually have me thinking about how could I let members of my community be more, you know, become more of the teachers in the community as well. Since we all are teachers, that's one of our superpowers. So now my brain is churning. I'm going to have my phone out after the interview. I'm talking to it.
I have to tell you, so I really believe there's enough space for all of us out there. Listen, if you want to compete with me, I'm not going to compete back. Like, that's my mentality. I don't know if it's age or what, but like, there's room for all of us to be great. There really is. I do want to say this though. I heard this on a podcast and I wish I could give it credit because I can't think of it right now, but I was listening to this podcast about what to do when someone doesn't like you. And in teaching, not everyone's going to like you. Not everyone's going to love you. Not every parent's going to love you. Not every kid's going to love you. And guess what? When you get into social media, not everyone's going to love you, and not everyone's going to love your podcast, and not everyone's going to love your business. The best thing you can do is give that person permission to not like you. So say, it's okay. It's okay if you don't like Carrie Conover. You cannot like me. And I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be for everybody. E2E is not going to be for everybody. And I really lead E2E with the mentality of collaboration, not competition. And if you don't like me, it's okay. And if you don't like E2E, it's okay. I'm not going to be able to please everybody. And so for all of you that are thinking about starting something and trying to do this high side hustle, my guess is your fears, the things that are holding you back from making a leap, is that you're scared of the rejection and you're scared of people not liking what you're doing. And just say, it's okay if people don't like me. And I guarantee it'll help you let go of some of that fear.
Absolutely. You know, there is a big, you know, teachers. Okay. How do I say this without getting fired? teachers are people, as kids are people, and you are not going to be best friends with every child who comes through your class. There are going to be kids at the end of the year that you're like, yes, I made it. You know, I did my best. I served that child, but we did not connect on a personal level, and that's okay. And it's the same thing with the other teachers in your building. There are going to be other teachers in your building that you just don't connect with. And for some reason, and I understand the fact that social media is global, so therefore you're taking yourself very public. And of course, people on the internet tend to be more of a jerk than they are in real life.
Yes, for sure.
At least I hope they're more of a jerk than they are in real life, because man. But, you know, it is scary to take that leap. But I love what you said about giving yourself permission to let that person not like you.
Yeah.
It's okay.
The world would actually be so boring if we all loved each other.
Right?
It sounds horrible, but like, you have to be respectful, right? If a kid gets on your nerves and grinds on you, which a lot of times they end up being your favorites at the end, but like, you have to be respectful, and it goes back to healthy boundaries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, the kids who get on your nerves are the kids that are overstepping your boundaries, and you just need to push those boundaries out and make it super clear. But I think it's a lot about boundary setting, but like, it would be boring if we were all just like in love with each other all the time. It's okay that some people don't like you. Some people probably think I'm too talkative or too positive. One of my strengths on StrengthsFinder is positivity. Some people might hate that about me and think I'm naive. That's great. You do you, I'll do me. And as long as we're respecting each other, we're good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing, to go back to what you said about there's enough space for everybody, is that, you know, just because not everybody is going to like you, that also means that not everybody is going to like your, you know, quote unquote competitors. They're not going to click over there. So they come to you. You know, there are billions of people on the planet. And if you're, especially if you're in the online space, you have access to almost all of them. So yeah, there's no need to worry about is somebody else already doing this? Because you will bring your unique personality and your unique perspective and your unique life experience to whatever it is you're doing. I love the meme when people put up, they're like, next time you're worried about doing something somebody's already doing, take a walk down the bread aisle. Like,
<That's> I like the beer or wine aisle, but you know. Okay, so this is why I think E2E is something so special, because when you were talking about that bread aisle, it made me think of all of our presenters. There's a couple of presenters, and a couple of them are huge Instagram influencers that are doing presentations on your classroom environment and like a theme or organizing or whatever. Same topic, all different.
Mm-hmm.
So you may go into one and be like, oh, this person, I can't. And then you go to the next one and it's like, oh, this is exactly what I needed. And vice versa. It's like, they're going to present differently. They're going to say different things and you aren't stuck. If you don't like it, you literally press stop and you go find someone else that you jive with.
Yeah.
And the presenter doesn't know that. They don't. I give out zero data. It is my policy. I tell no one how much their videos were watched, how long they were watched. I am the only person on earth that sees that data because I believe in collaboration over competition. And the second I start saying this video is ranked number one, it starts competition.
Right.
People's walls up. So, but yeah, that's a great meme. I like it. But I'm going to use like the beer aisle just because it's summer and I got a nice cold beer on my brain.
No worries. You do you.
That's another thing is like, I feel like talking about like beer and margaritas with teachers, it's always like, oh, we shouldn't talk about that. And Olivia Bertels, I love Olivia Bertels on Instagram. Someone said, do you feel weird about posting? Like she had a margarita in her hand. She said, someone said, do you feel weird about posting? And she's like, no, I'm a 21-year-old responsible, or like I'm a 28-year-old response. How old for old Olivia is, but like adult, like I shouldn't be ashamed of the fact that I'm having a margarita. It's summer. Like,
yeah, it's not like she's doing a funnel in her classroom. Like exactly. This, you know, I have been over 21 for 20 years now, and it is okay if I have a glass of wine or a margarita or beer, as long as I am not breaking any laws or responsible for other people's children during that time.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, it's really, it's one of those things. People love to make trouble.
I know. I just pretend it's not there because my strength is positivity.
There you go.
No, I see it. I just look past it. I ain't got time for that.
Exactly. And that's part of the whole being you and letting other people be them is to just keep scrolling.
Yep.
It's so easy to just, it's much easier to just keep scrolling than it is to type. I mean, I don't know how many people's minds have actually been changed by arguing with someone on Facebook, but I'm going to guess it's not many. So, you know, just keep scrolling, keep scrolling.
I agree.
Oh my gosh, Carrie. So I feel like I could talk to you forever, but we have to wrap it up. Yes. So before we go, how can people find you?
Yeah. So everything is Educators 2, the number 2 Educators. So if you go over to educators2educators.com, that's where you can see how to become a member. Or just keep up when we have our free conferences. So we have the summer one, and then we'll have a new year reboot conference. That one's focused on health, wellness, and career. And then you can find us on Instagram. That's where I'm the most active on social media, going back to focus. Mm-hmm. I don't like to spread myself too thin. So you can find us Educators to Educators, Facebook, Educators to Educators, Twitter's Educators to EDU, I believe. Then one other thing I will mention is we're doing a Chicago pop-up event. So if any of you, your listeners are near Chicago, we're doing that at the eSpark Learning offices on September 21st. And we're doing just like mini PDs, a couple of PDs. I'm going to speak about building a personal board of directors and how important that is. We're doing mimosas, cupcakes, having a big crew get together. Actually, tickets are 50. There are 50 tickets available. So anyway, check back with me, but save that date. If you're in the Chicago area, we would love to meet you in person.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for being here. I had a blast talking to you, and I think you have so many little nuggets of wisdom that people can get out of this and starting their own business and moving past that fear that might be holding them back.
Great. Well, I'm excited that you are going to be part of the E2E family moving forward. So thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I know that you're busy and your time is precious, so I truly appreciate you spending some of it with me. If you like what you're hearing, you can support Side Hustle Teachers in three ways. Leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Reviews help Apple know we're here and we're helpful so more people can find us. You can share the show with friends and family. Did you know that podcast listenership is growing every single year? And a lot of that is because of recommendations from people just like you. And lastly, join our community. You can find Side Hustle Teachers on all the major social platforms, and we have a very active, engaged Facebook group. Join us. All the cool kids are doing it. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful week, and until next time, take care.